Welcome to a Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein, and coming up today, author Ernestine Hayes, producer Mandy Malott, and editor Scott Burton chat with Shelley Delaney about the creation of Hayes' Blonde Indian audiobook project and the upcoming event celebrating its creation. Cancer Connection discusses the annual health forum taking place tomorrow. Evening at Egan will preview their lecture tonight, Lessons from Indigenous Tourism for a Regenerative Future, with author Alexis Bunton. And Halloween skate and Douglas ghost walk events are happening this spooky weekend. That's some of the conversations you can look forward to on Juno Afternoon today. I hope you'll stay and join us. Yeah, the weather. Well, it's sort of getting a little serious out there with showers happening right now, but also a lot of snow mixed in with those showers, so watch it as you're on the road. The showers are going to continue tonight with lows around 35 degrees, and then for tomorrow, rain's in the forecast, mainly after 10 a.m. and highs near 41 degrees with east winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Rain's in the forecast for Saturday night as well, and Sunday, rain could be heavy at times on Saturday night and Sunday, and then showers Sunday night, lows around 38 degrees. Showers likely again on Monday and Monday night with a chance of showers before 10 p.m. and then a chance of rain and snow showers on Tuesday and Tuesday night. And rain and snow is in the forecast for Wednesday, Wednesday night, and Thursday as well. So the seasons are changing, and it's happening right in front of our faces and in front of our windshields too. So watch it on the roads there.
Hands and grass, ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na kaya ha an kak, gunnish cheese.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akkwan. The Clean AD have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. We got Dance to the Music happening, but we're going to be talking about community health forum. What is the connection between Sly and the Family Stone and the community health forum? Well, it's all about music, and thanks for joining me today on a Juno Afternoon. Andy Klein with you. To start the conversation today, we're joined by healthcare professionals that also have a musical message to bring as part of a community health forum through the Cancer Connection. So with me in the studio is Emily Ricci. Emily, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, good
afternoon. How are you? And Dr. Joni Mayer Hope, who's an oncologist and the founder of Alaska Women's Cancer Care. Dr. Hope, thanks so much for joining us as well.
Thank you so much for having
me. And then also in the studio, we'll get to you guys in just a minute, maybe. We'll talk a little first, and then we'll get to the reason that you all are here as well, is Melissa Mitchell, Misha B., and Kat Moore, the Any Mountain Campfire vocalists, and Dr. Hope's also part of that vocal group. So let's talk about the actual event happening tomorrow. We've got the Community Health Forum coming up as part of Cancer Connection. Emily, maybe just give us a little bit of a synopsis of what's going on.
Sure. Well, we are so excited to be back in person. Finally,
The
annual health forum is an event that's gone on for years. I picked it up, and I think the ladies that have been running it before me had done it for 10 years prior to that. So this has been around for at least 15 years, and we went virtual for the last 2 years, but we're excited to be back in person. The event will start at noon at Centennial Hall. We have some exhibitors available for different types of information and different healthcare services, and they will be available in the lobby at Centennial Hall beginning around 11 o'clock. And we are excited to feature a free healthy lunch. The Breezin is catering it this year. It's going to be great. There's going to be salmon. There's going to be a salad. And we encourage everyone to join. We have Dr. Hope joining us.
Yeah.
She'll be the keynote speaker, and we're so excited about that.
So tell me a little bit about Dr. Hope, about what you're planning on covering during the keynote speech.
Well, the name of the talk is Thriving at Home, State-of-the-Art Cancer Care in Alaska. But, one of my passions is weaving creativity into cancer care. I'm a gynecologic oncologist. I take care of women who have all of the below-the-belt cancers. So that's ovarian, uterine, cervical, vaginal, and also cancers that relate to pregnancy. So all of those cancers I take care of. And a long passion of mine has been music. I've been here before in that capacity as well. And so got invited down to blend education around cancer care with community involvement and also music as an inspiration.
Well, that's great. Tell me a little bit more about that connection and the therapeutic effect that you feel that music has for patients and for people dealing with some of these issues.
Actually, part of what I've done and been in Alaska since 2010. And I'm one of two gynecologic oncologists in the state. And at the time of coming here and starting Alaska Women's Cancer Care, I also started a nonprofit called Let Everyone Know, which is committed to using creativity as one of its ways to build support for women fighting these cancers and their community. As part of Let Every Woman Know, we founded a project called Any Mountain, which is the capacity that I'm here today. And Any Mountain's goal is to work towards ovarian cancer prevention, using creativity as the motivator for awareness and using research as the key to finding the prevention strategies.
What are some of the preventative measures people can take to combat ovarian cancer?
There is no prevention for ovarian cancer. That's part of the problem. If you know you have a genetic predisposition, then you can get tested. But there's no test that will for the general population that can help prevent ovarian cancer. So it's the deadliest. It's one of the deadliest gynecologic cancers. But tomorrow's talk is more general than that. Tomorrow's talk is about cancer care here at home in Alaska, and even more specifically here at home in Juneau. Where were we and where are we now? How can you thrive through the cancer journey close to home and get the best care in the world? And that's really what that talk is about. And I'm going to be giving four creative vignettes, and each creative vignette will be accompanied with a song these are original music by the Any Mountain Campfire. We're about to come out with seven original songs that are about the journey of life, right? The cancer journey is really, it's part of a journey of life. It's a hardship that people go through. And music really is a way that we find inspiration, we find community, we find motivation. And so all of the themes that we play out in poetry and music around loss and love, pain and success, hope, those are the themes of the music that we're going to sing. So they're not specifically about a type of cancer or cancer in general, but they're rather pieces that are going to be directed towards leading people towards the inspiration to you know, to find the strength to fight and thrive through this very terrible process of having to fight cancer yourself.
And the group, the singing, the music is really kind of an a cappella group. Is that right?
No, we're not an a cappella group.
But you're going to – I mean –
We're going to sing for you a cappella now.
You fooled me when you were rehearsing. I thought you were an a cappella group. So do you have a band that accompanies you as well?
You know, I'm the layperson in this group.
Right.
We have three professional musicians here behind me. They're all amazing. They have their own groups, Kat Moore, Melissa Mitchell, and Misha B. But the four of us have collaborated in various ways over the years. And this is music that has a band behind it. But today what we're going to sing for you is a cappella.
Can I throw it to you guys
throw
now
it
to
us.
Sing now?
All right. This one is called Fire Inside.
Okay.
Do, me, so, me, do. I got a fire. Oh, I got a fire.
Mics at all for that. You guys
just
filled up the room. That was great. Well, that's Melissa Mitchell, Misha B, and Kat Moore all on vocals with Dr. Hope.
Yeah.
And that was pretty cool. That's Any Mountain Campfire Vocalists. Is that right? Any Mountain
that
Campfire?
That is. Any Mountain is a whole analogy of cancer.
Okay, yeah. That's great. Wow. Well, that's really...
The campfire where the music happens.
There you go.
Gotta have singers.
That's right.
You got to.
What was the derivation of getting involved in that? Just you've just been involved in music your whole life and wanted to kind of bring this in? Or tell me about that.
I mean, I've been a singer and a musician and a poet my whole life. For 10 years, I was the lead singer for a band called No Evidence of Disease, which was six gynecologic oncologists. And from that...
Where was that?
That was a national band.
Okay.
And actually, we were in Juneau in 2017, playing at the same place that will be tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. Centennial?
Yeah. Centennial Hall.
Yeah.
But Any Mountain really is the most creative project that I've been a part of birthing yet, because it really brings in music with research and awareness with a fantastic goal of really preventing, learning to prevent, you know, a deadly cancer. And so I'm truly excited to have this group of singers with me as we move forward in making a big impact.
What are some of the things you're hoping people come away with when they attend tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow I really hope people are going to see what an amazing organization Cancer Connection is, and the first time that we've been able to get together like this since COVID. And, you know, for Cancer Connection has been a collaborator with Let Everyone Know, and helping with me take care of gynecologic cancer patients, you know, in the state here. So I'm really excited to be supporting this and being here. And really, I hope that it's going to bring to light what fantastic medical care exists here in Juneau, and how far we've come at being able to stay at home for our cancer treatment, all types of cancer, not just gynecologic cancer. And I'm really hoping also to paint the picture of sort of what's on the horizon and how much farther we can go and will go at actually thriving at home when we're fighting cancer.
Great. Emily, just one more time, maybe give us some of the details in case people are joining us late here and all they heard was great music and want to know where to get more of it and more information.
Absolutely. So tomorrow, doors open at 11 o'clock for an exhibitor hall. Doors open to the main ballroom at 11:45, lunch, and our keynote speaker, including Dr. Hope and the wonderful ladies here, begins at 12 o'clock. It is a free lunch. We do have a $10 suggested donation, but the menu is amazing. So we hope everyone can join us.
Very cool. Well, thanks so much. Thank you, Dr. Hope at the Alaska Women's Cancer Care. Vocalists here as well. She's a vocalist, but as well as the other vocalists here from Any Mountain Campfire, Melissa Mitchell, Misha B., and Kat Moore, thanks so much for joining us. And Emily Ricci, thank you as well for joining us and giving us all the information about this community health forum that's happening tomorrow at Centennial Hall, part of the Cancer Connection. Thanks to everyone for coming. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Okay.
This is Juneau Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein. Blonde Indian, a memoir from former state laureate writer Ernestine Hayes, will be released as an audiobook next Tuesday, November 1st. It's narrated by the author herself, and earlier this week, KTOO's Shelley Delaney got to sit down with Scott Burton, Mandy Malott, and Ernestine to talk about the process of recording and producing Blonde Indian, the audiobook.
You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. On November 1st, which is next Tuesday, you can join today's guest at the audiobook event for Blonde Indian, written by Ernestine Hayes. Here with me today is the author herself, as well as Scott Burton and Mandy Malott. So to start off today, Ernestine, would you please introduce yourself?
Thank you. I'm Ernestine Hayes. Shankasakht is my Tlingit name. I was born and raised in Juneau. I have 3 children and 4 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. Gunashish.
Yake, Gunashish. Mandy Malott, would you introduce yourself and tell us how you were involved in this project?
Oh, of course. I'm here looking at my friend, and I have a few things in common with her, which just burst my heart. I am an Ernestine fan, and also born and raised here in Juneau. My Tlingit name is Achkwe. It's given to me by Lena Farkas in Yakutat. And I was involved because gosh, just to have Ernestine's voice, you know, and her printed version, to be able to be shared with everyone through the audiobook world, just seemed like something that was a really good idea, and that would be fun, honestly, for me and people that are in my life to hear. So that's really why I got involved.
And Scott Burton, would you please introduce yourself and tell us how you were involved in this project?
Gnachi, Shelley, good to see you. Thank you for having me here. Ernestine, Mandy, it's so great to be here with you. And, I worked here in public media for a long time and loved that. And now I've been running my own media company that does things like help people make audiobooks and podcasts and other media-related things. I'm making a documentary and really thankful for all of that. And for this audiobook, my participation was I'm a big fan of Ernestine's. I met her when I was in my late 20s. I took creative writing classes from her at UAS, which blew my mind. She's an extraordinary teacher as well as a great writer. So I've been a fan ever since. And then I was looking at Blonde Indian, which I read several times and love, and trying to think of something to do with like what my skill set could contribute to. And we started chatting, and before you know it, we hatched the idea of turning Blonde Indian into an audiobook.
Blonde Indian, an Alaskan Native memoir, it was published in 2006. It has become a contemporary classic here in Santa Kahini and beyond. So, Ernestine, now more than 15 years later, what made you decide to produce an audiobook version?
When Blonde Indian first came out, a woman who lives here in Juneau told me that she would like to read it, but her eyesight didn't allow that. And I always kept that at the back of my mind, that an audiobook for people who weren't able to read that size print or something like that, I would still love them to hear those stories. And so that was my impetus for, and my gratitude and appreciation for the people who not only encouraged and supported it, but made it happen.
What was it like to narrate this book yourself?
It brought back lots of memories and images in my mind. And usually when I reread Blonde Indian in the print form, I see so many things that I told my students in creative writing class not to do. And luckily, whether because of intimidation or just not seeing it, none of my students ever brought that to my attention. But I really used to see when I would read the print version all the things that I shouldn't have done, the ways that I could make the craft more sophisticated. But when I was reading it, none of that happened. None of it happened. I just enjoyed it and experienced all of it again. I was there with the cockroaches, like Scott says. I was hitchhiking on the old highway. I was on my way to Reno. It was all alive for me again.
Let's hear an excerpt now. And since you mentioned it, I'll play the one that addresses the cockroaches.
The man who'd introduced himself as George is businesslike. He wraps his lean, tall body into an industrial uniform, fits a plastic helmet over his crew cut, adjusts the poison tank on his back into a comfortable position, and goes to work. He points a long nozzle at the shelf above our heads, waves us back a few feet, and begins to spray. At once, poisoned cockroaches rain down in sheets, falling onto the plastic face of his helmet. Gary and I stare in fascinated disgust. George slowly moves the nozzle along the shelf while hundreds of cockroaches fall on him, bounce off, and land on the living room floor, not even twitching. My jaw has dropped open, so I cover my mouth with my hand. Even though the spray has no odor, I'm sure it must be potent to be able to kill those resilient survivors we've been fighting for such a long time. It must be almost a week now.
Well, I love the imagery there. I really can't imagine anyone else but you narrating this book, especially when you start to hear the excerpts.
The part where she laughs, like she's talking about her jaw drops and she laughs. You know, I love the idea of professional narrators doing audiobooks, and they do a great job, but they wouldn't know. There wouldn't be that moment right there, right, that only Ernestine has.
What was the process like to record and produce the book, you know, working with this team?
All I had to do was show up.
And reminisce a little.
Help myself to tea and dehydrated bananas, and that was my part.
So we started doing some experiments wondering where we were going to record this, and we tried some different venues across town where it was convenient. And, like, invariably a FedEx truck would drive by or something. And then we're like, we need to go see a professional. We need to go see Betsy Sims at Studio A. And she has a vocal booth, which, if you don't know what a vocal booth is, it's kind of like a cone of silence. I mean, Ernestine, you spent 2 weeks in that thing. Is it like the cone of silence?
It was relaxing, and I felt special, not necessarily because I was being set up there in the cone of silence booth, but because if I wanted a cup of tea, a cookie, and more than that, I had a ride all the way from home and back again. So the whole thing, instead of a chair in a booth, I felt more like I was on a throne.
We were in the studio for like 2 weeks, mornings, right? About 2 weeks. It seems like it took us to do the initial tracking of the book, which is 275 pages. And then I got to take it home last winter and sit with it and put it together, which for me as a writer, it was just a dream. Like, I got to re-sit with Ernestine's words, study her craft and her art, and then just put this book together. And I guess one thing I'd like to point out is having a team like this really improved the quality. The more people that can focus on different parts of this book, where Ernestine can be comfortable in the booth and read and have tea, and Mandy's focused on fundraising, among other things, and Betsy's on engineering, and I'm following along, I'd say it really contributed to the project.
Sure made it fun, you know.
Let's talk about the event. On Tuesday, November 1st at 6 o'clock, you will all be at the Jack for an event to promote the audio book. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I'll start. We're just excited to share the project and what we went through to do this and the fun and joy we all had as a way to highlight all of the good and along the way, lots of bloopers, right, and lots of learnings. So for me, it will just be a fun chance to sort of welcome friends and neighbors and people who are interested in the process and who are fans of Ernestine or will be by the end of it. So for me, that's really what I'm looking forward to, just hearing more about that, the process.
And Ernestine, you had sort of mentioned this post-COVID, quasi-post-COVID, you know, era that we're in now, and how sort of exciting it is to be able to meet people in person again, right?
Right. And I've been feeling that as I've gone out a little bit and seen actual other human beings in the same room. And that's still being celebrated, I'm sure. And at this event coming up on Tuesday, During this time, during the like little over 4.5 years ago, a house that I had owned for 1 month burned, and I had such a terrible time dealing with lawyers and insurance companies and contractors and electricians and the CBJ and just you name it. And I had to suffer through it. And there, very towards, you know, probably a year ago or so, I really began to feel and so appreciate the support and encouragement I was getting from the community. And the Juneau community and the Alaska community, and it gave me such a strong sense of being embraced by our community and being part of a community I love. And I think that what we're doing is we're giving back to the community and thanking them for all the support and recognition and good wishes and goodwill that they've sent, and the strength that I received just from knowing I'm part of such a community. And we want to thank them. And maybe even, I'm not sure about this, but we might even have some donuts.
And I think Pat Race is going to screen his mini doc that he made on Ernestine right. Hayes and show some outtakes, some bloopers. We'll talk more about, you know, the teamwork that it took to put this together. And I'll be playing some we have some good bloopers from just the audiobook portion. I'll be playing some of those. And then I think Betsy Sims is going to talk about engineering, and also she wants to do more work with the Cone of Silence. She loves doing things like audiobooks, and she has these great tools up there at Studio A. So she's going to be giving tours, and get this, listeners, you too can sit in the Cone of Silence on the throne.
In the turquoise chair.
Get your picture taken. Get a tour of Studio A. Hang out with Betsy.
That would be awesome.
And if you're a band or something, she does all that amazing stuff too. So anyway, it should be fun.
I think I speak for everyone when I say I can't wait to hear the bloopers. Everyone loves bloopers.
We even have some fun stories that weren't recorded, but we can share. There will be lots of laughs. I think that's the biggest thing. Yeah. We look forward to seeing everybody who's interested in coming, and for a real, I think, lively conversation. It'll be fun. Yeah.
Ernestine, you get the last word.
I really look forward to the event coming up, and I want to express my deep gratitude not only to the team here and those of us who will be presenting, but also to the community at large for sending me the strength that really carried me through some tough times. And I couldn't there's got to be a line out of a movie. I couldn't have done it without you.
Ganashish, thank you all for being with me today, for speaking with me. Scott Burton, Mandy Malat, and Ernestine Hayes.
Ganashish.
And that event's going to be on Tuesday, November 1st at 6 p.m. at the Jack. Admission's free. Coffee, tea, and snacks will be provided. And for the sake of sustainability and less waste, the group has asked that attendees bring their own non-disposable plate, mug, and napkin. And coming next, we're going to discuss a little bit more about sustainable tourism in Alaska when we preview Evening at Egan. That's coming right up.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years. With cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Well, welcome back to Juno Afternoon. Andy Klein with you, and the concepts of regenerative tourism and sustainable tourism are going to be discussed at tonight's Evening at Egan, as author Alexis Bunton will be speaking about her findings and research. And Alexis has joined us in the studio along with the UAS Dean of Arts and Sciences, Karen Silkaitis. I said it the wrong way. Silkaitis, Karen Silkaitis. Thanks to both of you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having
us. Yeah, and welcome back to Juno. I know you've been here many times and lived here at one time, but welcome back. And tell me a little bit about your ideas you have that you want to present for Evening at Egan tonight. Let me just start you off by saying you have a breadth of work in all kinds of areas, right? But this one specifically talks about this concept of regenerative tourism. Is that right?
All right, yes. So I was here in the mid-1980s as a baby. No, just kidding. I'm older than that. When the first cruise ships were coming, and people in Juneau were up in arms and very upset. They felt like what came out of the smokestacks was horrible for the air, and that there were things being dumped in the water, and coming from people being shocked and upset about how that would pollute our environment then to an acceptance of much more than that now. I think I will be talking about how do we work with what we've got? How do we address infrastructure issues and decisions that were made by people a generation before us now so that we can live here, benefit from the positive aspects of tourism, and begin to change the industry so it's better for the environment. So what you really asked about was what's regenerative? And that's a term when I first heard it, I thought it was some fancy New York thing and kind of scoffed at it too. But we used to say sustainable. But if you think about what sustainable means, it's sustaining what you have. But what if your environment and your quality of life has been degraded? Regenerative, it's regenerating. How do we get it back to what nature wants for itself, what humans want to be doing well? So how can we use tourism to not only address, go beyond mitigating the environmental and social effects of tourism, but making it better for everybody?
And I know that your work, sort of some of the foundational ideas behind your work, is this idea of the quadruple bottom line. So tell me about this idea of the quadruple bottom line.
Okay. So I'm not sure any of our listeners have ever heard of this, but there is this thing going around in business called B corporations, which is the triple bottom line. And that is, you're not just trying to address making profit, which is classic business, but it's people, planet, and profit. That's the triple bottom line. But I learned from a very good friend of mine who's a Maori business professor and consultant about the quadruple bottom line 4 years ago. And you think of it as four P's: people, planet, profit, and purpose. So what are the ethics that are driving your business through? In addition to caring about the environment, caring about how it's going to affect humans, and also maintaining a profit. And the interesting thing about triple and even quadruple bottom lines is the more that you incorporate the parts that aren't just trying to make as much money as possible, actually those businesses flourish more.
Hmm. It ends up kind of all working in, another catchphrase, synergy, but it all ends up working sort of together towards a common goal of actually making the business stronger.
Yeah, well, a good example of that, and I have not been paid to say this, is Patagonia. They do a lot for people, planet, profit, and purpose. And they're not suffering because people believe in their mission. They're not just paying for the jacket. They're paying for the whole mission and caring about the underlying values of the company.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because it starts with this thing that's counterintuitive to pure commerce. You know, we don't believe in Black Friday was one of the things they came out with, right? We want you to take that time and go outdoors. That's a very interesting thing for a business that's in the business of selling garments to say to people.
Yeah, but it's counterintuitively works because it's actually intuitive, because if we think about what we want, we're animals, we're connected to other animals, we're connected to the planet. And at the end of the day, we don't want to destroy it.
Karen, I know this is part of a three-part series for Evening Egan. How does this lecture connect with the theme of the other lectures?
Yeah, so it came about with UAS and UAA and UAF talking about this incredible speaker series. And I wrote what it was called because I didn't want to forget. So we did call it the Just and Regenerative Business in Alaska. And together, you know, the UA Foundation got us all together. It was kind of a group of humans in a Zoom room, right, talking about what we wanted to do with the speaker series. And it was made possible by a private donor. And the donor created the Educational Legacy Fund with the UA Foundation. And these kind of group of humans got together in this Zoom room and thought, what do we want to do with this? And how do we want the speaker series to work? And ultimately, we decided to have a speaker series, you know, to do something at UAS, do something at UAA, and something at UAF. And I volunteered to go first because I knew exactly who I wanted to talk. And so I knew it was going to be Alexis. And it was because we met at the Sitka Tourism Conference. And I heard Alexis speak. I was completely blown away by her passion, by her message, by listening to this. And I was already thinking about doing something at UAS having to do with at the time, my brain was like, oh, sustainable or eco, right? You had heard those kinds of terms right. thrown out mm-hmm. around tourism. But when I heard Alexis speak, like hearing, like thinking about it with the idea and the word regenerative makes so much more sense. Why wouldn't you want it to be regenerative in nature as opposed to just sustaining the status quo, right? That just clicked with me. And I knew that I wanted Alexis to come talk to the UAS community.
But Alexis, do you feel like, is this taken as a threat by some status quo people that are potentially in this space, in this tourism space? Or what's mm-hmm. the counterpoint to this that you discover when you're speaking to people?
I'm not worried about dinosaurs. Because they will go in the direction of dinosaurs. And I just want to respond to what I heard Karen say. I'm so excited that the speaker series is based in the University of Alaska system because we're so used to people in urban centers far away like New York or LA or London coming up with solutions for places that are really affecting these issues. And I love the fact that this series is really honoring the fact that we have the solutions here in Alaska and we have all the talent and the knowledge to be able to bring about this change that the rest of the world will follow.
Some of the work that you've done has also done some comparison studies with other cultures and in other areas of the world. Tell me a little bit about that and what took you in that direction.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited to be here tonight speaking because I got my start in Indigenous tourism, doing research in contemporary Northwest Coast arts in 25 years ago. And since then, I've gone on to research, write, consult extensively in this area. So I'm going to be presenting a lot of examples that might seem out of the box for here, but fit this area really well. Many of them are from Aotearoa, New Zealand, because I've done extensive work there over the years, as well as other places like Australia, Botswana, other parts of North America that may be different locations, but they're facing the same issues that are very complementary to the Southeast region.
What are some of the things that you see when looking at those and talking to those people about what works and what doesn't work in their areas?
What are some of the things that I see? Well, there's a lot of things that work in those areas that haven't, and I'm just going to tease it out here, that haven't been tried out here so much, and I'll talk about it tonight. I've decided to call it Be Who You Are tourism, where you don't really have to adapt to meeting the visitor's needs. What they really want to do is experience how you live, where you live, and even communication-wise, you don't have to talk and tell every little detail. You just have to be together and share the experience. It's a very powerful, transformative tourism model that I think is super ripe for this area and entrepreneurs, whether they want to engage in the full-on tourism season or just dabble in it a little bit.
That's an interesting thing that you're saying, because what you're, in a way, what you're saying is that the way that what we would consider maybe sort of authentic tourism designed for tourists loses authenticity, loses something because it's trying to design for tourists. Is that sort of what you're getting at?
You nailed it. Yeah, that's exactly it. We need to get outside of our mindset of pleasing what we think people want, because what they really want is just to have an experience together the way that folks live here.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. Well, we can't steal too much of your thunder from speaking tonight. We don't want to get too much into it, but just some of the details about if people want to attend.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's always a packed crowd. So number one, get there early, but. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, not only that, but we've got something exciting early. If you get there at 6, we actually have a reception where you can come. You can certainly meet Alexis and hang out with us university folks. So that's happening at 6 p.m. In the Egan Library. We've got some refreshments. And then the actual talk will start at 7 p.m.
And it's out at the Egan Library tonight. Well, thanks to both of you for coming in and talking to us a little, teasing it out, as you said, just a little bit, so that people get excited about the prospects of what you're going to be talking about. That's Alexis Bunton, author of So How Long Have You Been Native? Is that your first book?
Yes, was my first book. But I will be showing up tonight with 4 books to show people.
There's a preview.
Two of which are children's books. So if you have little kids and are curious, come on out.
Oh, that's
so great.
All right. And Karen Silkaidis, thanks so much, UAS Dean of Arts and Sciences. Thanks to both of you for coming in and letting us know about Evening at Egan. It's happening tonight at the Egan Library, 7 o'clock and 6 o'clock for the pre-speaking reception out there. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming in. Always fun hearing that again. And you know what time of year that means? It means it's the spooky, spooky time of year. Lots of spooky activity coming up this Halloween weekend. And here to tell us more about it is Lauren Anderson, the manager at the Treadwell Arena. Hey, Lauren, how you doing?
Hi.
And Maggie Swanson's here from the Douglas 4th of July Committee. And it seems like
Hello.
The Douglas 4th of July Committee has its hands in all this spooky Halloween activity going
kinds
on,
of
right?
Them this year, yes.
So tell me a little bit. We got tomorrow is. Is tonight the first thing? Tonight's
yes.
happening at the Treadwell Arena, right? So
Correct.
Let's talk about that first.
Okay. So tonight is the Halloween skate, and it's from 7 to 8:30, and it's free thanks to the Douglas 4th of July Committee for sponsoring the event this year. So, yeah, the Halloween skate, come in costume. We're doing costume contests. We'll have candy. Again, it's free from 7 to 8:30 tonight at Treadwell Arena. We're really excited. We haven't had this event for a little while because of COVID, so we're excited to...
So tell me about what happens?
Well,
what all is going on here?
We decorate.
Do you have to get on skates?
To be on the ice, you have to
okay,
be
well,
on
yes,
skates.
Of course,
but
to
no,
be on the
you
ice.
Do not.
You can look and
yeah,
watch.
Yeah, of course,
and
we
enjoy.
Encourage spectators to come
right.
and watch. There's going to be folks of all ages, lots of costumes. We turn the lights down. We have our disco ball going. We have glow sticks. Those are just $1 if you're interested. And we decorate the outside of the rink, the lobby walking in, the entryway, so we get it all,
it sounds
all
good.
Excited
yeah.
and ready for all of our patrons to come and skate.
And it's such a great atmosphere, cold and, you know, ice skating and all that stuff. It's like fun, but also like it's just so fitting for like the start fall. We're really in fall. Let's face it.
We
the
are.
Weather, let's come on. It's happening outdoors right now. So what a great place and a great way to use that amazing facility that we have there.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we're really excited for it tonight.
Yeah, all right. So the ghoul walk is – do I have that right? A ghost walk?
Ghost walk.
Ghost walk. Okay. Tell me about the ghost walk.
So the ghost walk is what the Douglas kids used to do instead of trick-or-treating every year. We've had – the ghost walk has been around for – over 55, 60 years and probably longer, but I didn't know that. Yes.
I'm not a Douglas.
Yes, and so it's been held at Mount Jumbo most of the time.
Right.
And so it is a community event. We are open from 4 to 6 tomorrow, Saturday. It's at Mount Jumbo Gym, which is if folks don't know, 909 4th Street, right up from the Douglas Depot little cafe and gas station there. Then it's, like I said, it's a community event, and it is done by community volunteers and everything. The Douglas volunteers contribute all of the candy for the event. The Carpenters Union helped us redo a lot of the carnival event type of things that they do.
It's so fun. Now that I've been to this.
Okay.
Now, here's a little backstory. I also play basketball at Mount Jumbo Gym.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm.
At noontime. Mm-hmm. So November, we find little candies. We find, you know, some things.
The little goodies.
The little stuff,
away.
You know, kids have left tucked away that, you know, missed the cleaning committee.
Oh, very good.
But it's always such a fun thing. When my kids was little, mm-hmm. I remember taking her over there, and what a blast.
It is. And so when the Carpenters Union, when they built the new event things, the high school art class painted them all. And so it's, you know, a bunch of the people got together to help us put it on. And the best part is that the hockey team are the kids that come and work all of the events. So they're out there in their hockey uniforms. So all of the kids know that if they have questions, those are the people to go to. And they're
all
manning
right.
each of the events we have. You want me to go through some of the different things we do?
Yeah, let's hear some of the events. It sounds
so
fun.
So there's a ring toss, which has got a ship on it, and they have to toss the ring on there. And then they throw balls, and they all run down the little loop thing. There's candy and all kinds of different goodies for the kids to get. We have a little duck pond, so the kids get a little rubber ducky.
Now, these aren't like the carnival ones that are rigged, right?
Oh,
the ones that looks like you're going to get that goldfish bowl, and you can never get it with the ping pong.
No, of course not. Everything is.
This one's all fair and square.
Exactly.
It's all a fair above board because it's the Douglas 4th of July committee doing it.
Right.
So, yeah, yes, you can trust it.
Exactly.
It's not carnies.
No.
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 Not to be disparaging of carnies.
No, but exactly. So, then we have a really cool fish pond, and then they can try their hand at basketball.
Okay.
We have a little basketball hoop.
All right.
A little place where they can hit a golf ball.
When you say a fish pond, what do you mean by that? What's in the fish pond?
It's a little swimming pool that has water in it, and the kids have a little net that they have to scoop up a duck.
Oh, I
see.
So
it's a rubber ducky scoop thing.
Right.
And some of them have some Halloween costumes on.
Yeah.
And so then the kids get to keep the little duck get it. See?
Right.
Yeah. And then we have the
it's too bad you don't have more fun with this, Maggie.
I know, isn't it?
I mean, that is a shame.
We have a new shooting gallery this year. It's really going to be cool.
So what's that?
So we have Nerf guns. And so all the kids get to try to shoot
I bet all these kids are great with Nerf guns.
Oh, we have all different kinds, so they can use whatever one works the best for them.
Oh, I see. And they have the arsenal
exactly.
there, Nerf guns.
They do. They
pick
have an
out.
Arsenal
okay.
to choose
okay.
from.
Okay, yep. Very
and
good.
Then, and then we have ghosts and spiders and bats and things hanging down that they get to shoot. And then we have, you have a ball toss, like you always have to knock over this pyramid thing,
yeah.
But it's a pyramid of skulls that they have to try to
look
over.
That's a little spooky. Now, some of the kids are really little, right?
Yeah.
They get a little
help.
Sometimes they get a little help, sure. Okay. Well, that all sounds amazing. That's the Ghost Walk. It's happening. So tell me about the hours and how people can get involved in the Ghost Walk.
Okay, so the Ghost Walk is going to be from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock tomorrow, Saturday, the 29th of October. Come one, come all, come in costumes, bring the family. Kids 10 and under are the ones that come in. When they come through the door, they get a goodie bag. They get in the goodie bag, they get a toothbrush and toothpaste donated by Dr. Gilbert's office. And then we have the candy from the volunteers that are at the different stations, from the volunteer firefighters. So it's a big community event. Everybody helps put it on for all the kids that get to participate in it.
And then one more time about the skating that's happening tonight.
Yes, our spooky Halloween
skate
at Treadwell Arena is tonight. It's free thanks to the Douglas 4th of July Committee sponsoring the event, and it's from 7 to 8:30. Skates are included. We encourage everyone to dress in costume. If you just want to come and check it out, you're welcome to come and sit in the bleachers and watch our skaters, and we've got the rink all ready for the spooky.
Sounds great. Thanks. Oh, one more thing?
Just one more thing.
Okay.
So anybody who wants to come and volunteer, just come in and look for Maggie, and we will help, definitely accept your help.
Sounds great. Well, Maggie, thanks so much for all the stuff you're doing. Maggie Swanson from the Douglas 4th of July Committee and Lauren Anderson, manager of the Treadwell Arena. It's going to be a fun weekend.
It will be great.
All right.
Yeah, come to Douglas.
Don't eat too much candy, you guys. I mean, just a little warning. That's always that's my downfall every time. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
And that's it for Juno Afternoon. Thanks so much, everyone, for joining us. You can listen to our show again tonight at 7 o'clock if you have missed anything on today's show. To get links or anything we discussed, to be on the show yourself, check out our website at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. And Juno Afternoon is a production of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. Boston Christopher is our producer, and we had help today from Aaron Tripp and Shelley Delaney. Theme music by Indian Age, and I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. Thanks so much for joining us.